Welcome to your daily briefing, June the 21st, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have allowed us to continue our study and to see the events that are taking place around us day by day. We thank you for your blessings, and we ask that you would continue to show us the way as we prepare for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that there is a rising conflict between the United States of America and Iran. Just a few days ago, two ships were attacked and set on fire. And just yesterday, there was the news that told us that an American drone, a military drone, was shot down by the Iranians. Now, I'd like to share with you a little bit of background from the conflict that arose quite a number of years ago between the United States of America and Iran. And I'd like to use an article that is found in the New York Times. Now, the title of the article is Secrets of History, the CIA in Iran. The title again, Secrets of History, the CIA in Iran. That's found in the New York Times. Now, I've got a list of events that are here in this article, and I'll try to go through them and see if we can finish all of them. It starts out this way: key events in the 1953 coup. What most people don't realize or don't know is that in the year 1953, there was a coup staged in Iran, backed by the CIA, pushed by the CIA, where the democratically elected Prime Minister Mossadegh was removed from office. And of course, the conflict was based on oil. As you know, Iran has oil, as much oil as its reserves. And at the time, the British government, along with the United States of America, were pretty much in control of the oil that came out of Iran. Mossadegh decided that this was not fair, and so what he was going to do is he was going to nationalize the oil reserves. And of course, that got the CIA and the British Empire very upset. And so they staged a coup. Now, let's go through a few years here and take a look at some of the history. Remember, I'm reading an article here entitled Secrets of History, the CIA in Iran. 1949, World War II ends, and Iran becomes a target of both pro-Western and pro-Soviet forces with regard to the country's vast oil reserves. By June 1950, General Ali Rabzara becomes Prime Minister of Iran. Support grows for the nationalization of Iran's oil industry. By March 1951, Prime Minister Al-Razmara is assassinated. And of course, nationalist Mohammad Mossadegh becomes Prime Minister and angers the British by wresting control of the oil. By July 17, 1952, due to growing friction between the Shah and Mossadegh over oil, Mossadegh resigns. Ahmed Javani takes over as Prime Minister, and 3 days of rioting ensue. July 22, 1952, under pressure, the Shah is forced to reappoint Mossadegh. March 1953, the CIA begins drafting a plan to bring to power, through covert action, a government in Iran that would be preferred by the United States. April 16, 1953, a CIA study entitled Factors Involved in the Overthrow of Mossadegh is completed. The study concludes that a coup in Iran is possible. May 13, 1953. The CIA and British intelligence officers meet and of course they meet in Nicosia, Cyprus, to draft plans for the coup. Meanwhile, the CIA's Tehran station is granted approval to launch a gray propaganda to discredit the Mossadegh government. So they're working now to get rid of Mossadegh so that they can have control of the oil. June 10th, 1953, CIA officers meet at Beirut for a final review of the coup plan. By June 19, 1953, the final operation plan for the coup agreed upon by both the CIA and British intelligence is submitted to the U.S. State Department and the Foreign Office in London. July 4th, 1953, Britain's Prime Minister gives final approval to the operational plan for the coup. July 11th, 1953, President Eisenhower gives final approval to the operation plan for the coup. July 23rd, 1953, a British Foreign Office is presented to an Under Secretary of State, reassuring the U.S. that the British would be flexible on the issue of controlling oil in Iran. So now, Britain and the United States of America are working together. Now, this is officially. This is not a little group of individuals who are doing this. This is the U.S. government and the British government. July 25, 1953, under pressure from the CIA, Princess Ashraf, the Shah's sister, flies to Tehran from France. August the 1st, 1953, in a meeting with General H. Norman Schwarzkopf, the Shah refuses to sign the CIA written royal decrees firing Mossadegh and naming General Zabedi as the new Prime Minister of Iran. August the 4th, 1953, Mossadegh, suspecting that British and American governments were plotting against him, holds a referendum calling for the Iranian parliament to be dissolved. August 13, 1953, the Shah signs a royal decree dismissing Mossadegh. Word of the Shah's support for the coup spreads quickly in Iran. Now, the Shah would be like the king. He's one overall. Mossadegh, remember, is the prime minister. Okay? August 15, 1953, the coup begins, but falters and then fails because Mossadegh receives advance warning of the plans, and so he went into hiding. August 17, 1953, General Zahedi announces that he is the prime minister. To support this claim, CIA agents disseminate a large quantity of photographs of the royal decrees dismissing Mossadegh and appointing Zahedi. The Shah announces that he indeed signed the decrees. August 18, 1953, the CIA, discharged by the failed coup, sends a message to Tehran ordering the operations against Mossadegh to be halted. And August 19, 1953, several Tehran newspapers published the Shah's decrees, as a result supporting the Shah and the expulsion of Mossadegh. Of course, this entire calendar here is much longer than I've read, but I thought I would give you somewhat of an idea as to how this began. Now, I want you to understand that this did not begin with Iran. It began with the British government and with the United States government. Their greed for oil was similar to that with the attitudes that were expressed in the Iraq War, as much of that war was based upon the greed for oil, or rather the control of oil in that part of the world. All right. I I'd like to share an article from the National Public Radio website, NPR, and it was published on February the 7th, 2019. The title of the article is How the CIA Overthrew Iran's Democracy in 4 Days. The title again, How the CIA Overthrew Iran's Democracy in 4 Days. On August 19, 2013, the CIA publicly admitted for the first time its involvement in the 1953 coup against Iran's elected Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh. The documents provided details of the CIA's plan at the time, which was led by senior officer Kermit Roosevelt Jr., the grandson of U.S. President Theodore Roosevelt. Over the course of 4 days in August 1953, Roosevelt would orchestrate not one, but 2 attempts to destabilize the government of Iran, forever changing the relationship between the country and the U.S. In this episode, we go back to retrace what happened in the inaugural episode of NPR's New History podcast. Mohammad Mossadegh was a beloved figure in Iran. During his tenure, he introduced a range of social and economic policies, the most significant being the nationalization of the Iranian oil industry. Great Britain had controlled Iran's oil for decades through the Anglo-Iranian Oil Company. After months of talks, the Prime Minister broke off negotiations and denied the British any further involvement in Iran's oil industry. Britain then appealed to the United States for help, which eventually led the CIA to orchestrate the overthrow of Mossadegh and restore power to Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, the last Shah of Iran. August 19, 1953, massive protests broke out across Iran, leaving almost 300 dead in firefights in the streets of Tehran. Iranian Prime Minister Mossadegh was soon overthrown in a coup orchestrated by the CIA and British intelligence. The Shah was reinstalled as Iran's leader. August 19, 1953, massive protests broke out across Iran, leaving almost 300 dead in firefights, and of course, as we said before, it led to much conflict. According to Stephen Kinzer, author of the book All the Shah's Men, Roosevelt quickly seized control of the Iranian press by buying them off with bribes and circulating anti-Mossadegh propaganda. He recruited allies among the Islamic clergy, and he convinced the Shah that Mossadegh was a threat. The last step enabled a dramatic attempt to apprehend Mossadegh at his house in the middle of the night, but the coup failed. Mossadegh learned of it and fought back. The next morning, he announced victory over the radio. A 1950 broadcast made it appear as if he was going to make it, but he did not. Mossadegh thought he was in the clear, but Roosevelt hadn't given up. He orchestrated a second coup. It succeeded. Mossadegh was placed on trial and spent his life under house arrest. The Shah returned to power and ruled for another 25 years until 1979 during the Iranian Revolution. The 1953 coup was later invoked by students and the political class in Iran as a justification for the overthrow of the Shah. So that's the National Public Radio broadcasting on February the 7th, 2019, showing that entire list that I'd read before was indeed an accurate list. One last article I'd like to take a look at on this subject, and it's found in the Foreign Policy website, published June the 20th, 2017. The title of the article is 64 Years Later, CIA finally releases details of Iranian coup. Again, 64 years later, CIA finally releases details of Iranian coup. Here's that article. Declassified documents released last week
shed light on the Central Intelligence Agency's central role in the 1953 coup that brought down Iranian Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh, fueling a surge of nationalism which culminated in the 1979 Iranian Revolution and poisoning U.S.-Iran relations into the 21st century. The approximately 1,000 pages of documents also reveal, for the first time, the details of how the CIA attempted to call off the failing coup, only to be salvaged at the last minute by an insubordinate spy on the ground. Now, the reason why I'm going through this with you, because I want you to understand that what is happening today is a reflection of all of the animosity that was built by the actions taken by the British government and the CIA back in 1953. Continuing. Known as Operation Ajax, the CIA plot was ultimately about oil. Western firms had for decades controlled the region's oil wealth, whether Arabian American Oil Company in Saudi Arabia or the Anglo-Iranian Oil Company in Iran. When the U.S. firm in Saudi Arabia bowed to pressure in late 1950 and agreed to share oil revenues evenly with Riyadh, the British concession in Iran came under intense pressure to follow suit, but London adamantly refused. So in early 1951, amid great popular acclaim, Mossadegh nationalized Iranian oil industry, a fuming United Kingdom began conspiring with U.S. intelligence to overthrow Mossadegh and restore the monarchy under the Shah. The coup attempt began on August the 15th, but was swiftly thwarted. Mossadegh made dozens of arrests. General Zahedi, a top conspirator, went into hiding, and the Shah fled the country. The CIA believed the coup to have failed, called it off. Operations had been tried and failed, and we should not participate in any operation against Mossadegh which could be tracked back to the U.S., CIA headquarters wrote to its station chief in Iran in a newly declassified cable sent on August the 18th, 1953. Operations against Mossadegh should be discontinued. That is the cable which Kenneth Roosevelt, top CIA officer in Iran, purportedly and famously ignored, according to Malcolm Byrne, who directs the U.S.-Iran Relations Project at the National Security Archive in George Washington University. At least one guy was in the room with Kermit Roosevelt when he got this cable, Byrne told Foreign Policy. Roosevelt said, "No, we're not done here." It was already known that Roosevelt had not carried out an order from Langley to cease and desist, but the cable itself and its contents were not previously published. The consequences of his decision were momentous. The next day, on August the 19th, 1953, with the aid of rented crowds widely believed to have been arranged with CIA assistance, the coup succeeded. Iran's national hero was jailed, the monarchy restored under the Western-friendly Shah, and Anglo-Iranian oil, renamed British Petroleum, tried to get its fields back, but didn't really. Despite the coup, nationalist pushback against a return to foreign control was too much, leaving British Petroleum and other majors in to share Iran's oil wealth with Tehran. So now you notice what is happening here, and it's pretty clear. Now I know that when you hear of the conflicts that are existing and the attitudes, the very aggressive attitudes that Iran tends to demonstrate in its actions, one would think that they just hate us, like some of our politicians say they hate us because of our lifestyle. Well, that's not an accurate description of the hatred. They were not even interested in anything that we were doing, up until the time when the British government joined hands with the United States to take control and monitor the oil coming from Iran. And notice that British Petroleum really sounds like if it's a British company, but actually it was the rename of the Iranian oil company under the control of the British. One of the things that also I need to mention to you today is that, of course, you know this already, but just in case you don't, Iran really is the ancient Persian Empire. And in fact, the word Iran really is the Persian for Persia. I'm going to say that again. The word Iran is really the Persian word for Persia. And the individuals who requested that the country's name be called Iran were the Iranians. It is rather interesting that this nation that is as aggressive as it is now and has spent a lot of time putting together a very functional army sits as an introduction in the book of Daniel in chapter 2. Following Babylon, then we come to Medo-Persia, then we come to Greece, then we come to Rome. What is also interesting is that the first battle that we fought as the United States of America to control oil was that battle that we fought in Iraq, claiming that Saddam Hussein had tremendous weapons that would destroy many nations, which he did not have at the time. What is also interesting and ironic is that Iraq really is ancient Babylon. So we go from a battle with ancient Babylon or Iraq, and then in 1953 we begin to confront ancient Persia. The fact of the matter is, my dear brother, my dear sister, there's nothing that is happening in this world today that has not been mentioned in God's word. And you and I need to understand that God has been accurate, and he continues to warn us about the things that are about to take place. And you and I need to understand that if you are a careful student of history, you will realize that the conflicts that exist today have their beginnings way back in time. So what is God calling on us to do now, today, under these circumstances? He's calling us to prepare ourselves for the time to come, to make sure that our hearts are right before him, so that we will indeed enjoy the pleasure of the earth made new and be able to go home with him. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you continue to do. We thank you for all the things that you show us. We thank you that our hearts are made glad because we can trust you, because you have seen all of this prior to our arriving here. And we ask that you would prepare us for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is your daily briefing, June the 21st, 2019.